Hi, this is Agathe Letellier from Manoir d'Apreval Cidery, located in Pendepie, France, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 49. Hello from 30,000 feet up in the air.
Going up.
This is Aria Windcaller, your Cider MC. Doing this recording via an international flight from Paris, France to Boston International Airport. You are listening to a weekly podcast where we speak with cider makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we'll be speaking with Agathe Letellier. Cidery's name is Manoir d'Apreval. There'll be more on that in just a moment. In the meantime, Ciderville, I am sharing with you a little bit of my reality over the past 20 days, where I have traveled through the countries of Netherlands, Belgium, France, and Spain. On last week's chat, I was visiting a ciderwinkel in Amsterdam, where they are cider-centric, having both cider and perry from around the world. And that was episode number 48. Do look for links to that episode in the show notes. And that was with Helene Noble and Ilko Hunziger from Apples and Perrin. I've been going on this amazing journey that has intertwined with cider makers from literally around the world. Most recently, I left the area of Asturias in Spain, which I have found to be the epicenter of Ciderville. I'll be speaking more of that as we go along, but I want to bring you in a kind of chronological experience of my travels, just to kind of keep my head screwed on correctly and keep you in the swing of things. I started in Amsterdam, then did a wee bit of work, and as I mentioned last week, I got stuck in Bruges, Belgium. Had a little bit of a rental car fiasco there, and hopefully there's going to be reimbursement for that. I'll keep you updated. Because along these travels, I think it's important for me to share with you the best way to be a cider tourist. And in this land where Ciderville is in some ways a hidden gem, it takes a bit of tenacity, a whole lot of desire, and the joy of the adventure. From Bruges, I was able to go down to Rouen, which on last week's show, you heard the bells of Rouen. That was amazing. And then in the early morning of September 22nd, I had the privilege of speaking to our guest on this week's show, and that is Agathe. She is making some amazing cider. Her Pommeau alone is worth the travels. I so enjoyed the visit, both the nose and I, who was able to assist me on this recording, and we are going to be taking you directly to that chat in a moment. It's going to roll right into it, where we're talking about the appellation and control for Normandy cider. And then we'll be walking about her cidery and discussing what she does, how she does it, and a bit of the French cider culture. So, without further ado, I'm going to ask that you grab a glass and join with me a bit of a chat with one hell of a cider maker, Agathe Letellier from Manoir d'Apreval, Normandy, France.
More for, is more corresponding to a cider with a little bit of sweetness.
Right.
It's sweetness, bitterness, and low acidity. So we have to respect an equilibrium that is corresponding to the control appellation product.
Right.
This way, okay, the people can say this is a Pays d'Auge.
of this region.
Yeah.
Is that also covered Brittany too, that same kind of parameters for the cider? Is there another regulating appellation for Brittany's?
Yeah, there is a cider called the Cidre de Cornouailles, I think, that it's controlled appellation product. And there is another Cidre de Guilvic, which is a controlled, with a Guilvic appellation. It's one variety, the varieties of Guilvic. So, but it's very specific also, and a very little production.
So I have to make sure I'm understanding this. What Didier is the president of the
IDEC.
IDEC.
Yeah.
Right. But is that only for Normandy, or is that also for Brittany?
No. Only Normandy.
Only Normandy. Okay.
Yeah, it's... because it's for the Calvados Pays d'Auge, Calvados, Pommeau de Normandie, mm-hmm. and Cidre Pays d'Auge.
Mm.
Okay. And that shows that the Brittany have their cider also for all the... I think they just leave to IDAC the cotization mm-hmm. on the product,
mm-hmm.
but they do what they want in terms of promotion, and they're not mm-hmm. we're not concerning for about what they want to do about their promotion in Brittany.
Okay,
all so right. it's. Yeah.
A bit separate.
Yeah, it's separate.
Okay.
It's separate.
All right. And then you mentioned some of the parameters for this particular cider that you're making. That's true for all the AOP.
Pays d'Auge.
Right, Pays d'Auge. That it's low in tannin. Low in acid.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought that was interesting because, in the U.S., we have... a very wide range, of course, in the country,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but we have very high acids. So, do you know, like, how these parameters were set up for why it wanted the very low acidity and the high tannins? Of course, the apple varieties—that's what you have.
Yeah.
But
because we are, we have a lot of bitter and bittersweet apples,
of course,
in the Pays d'Auge.
Yeah, yeah.
So our structure is with bitterness traditionally. And Pays d'Auge is a traditional cider.
Right.
And so, and it's not a dry cider.
Right.
It's more with a little bit of smoothness
mm-hmm.
and low acidity. Yeah.
Right. So are you doing any keeving with your cider, or it's just straight blending your cider?
Yeah. Different varieties.
Different varieties. I saw the different varieties that you had. It's very transparent. I also see, too, that you, I'm not talking about the clarity, but I'm talking about how you describe how you're making your cider. It's very transparent on your website.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me because I see some cider makers like, well, I don't really want to tell you too much because I might be a little worried about mm-hmm. that. But the truth is you could have the same apples. It doesn't matter.
It's not because you give the recipe that the people can do this recipe.
Right. It's not that.
It's not a recipe. It's only a recipe.
Right.
But depending the people that make the recipe, you have different mm-hmm. dishes.
Right.
So
right.
the result is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It will be too easy.
It will be too easy. I know. I agree. I agree, absolutely.
Because, there is all other things that is seems details, but that mm-hmm. are not details to make a good cider.
Now, in that cider, is a yeast? Are you using a specific yeast, or is there also control on that too, on what you could do for the yeast?
I use the natural yeast along all the fermentation.
For all your ciders, or just this one?
No, all.
Okay.
And then after, when I decide to bottle, I make my blending of different cider have. And so at this point, my aim now is more to use exogenous yeast that
indigenous yeast,
yeah.
like that's
so I
part
off.
Of your orchard.
Yeah, yes. I take off the indigenous
Indigenous, yes.
Indigenous yeast.
That's a good word for you to say. I am impressed.
Difficult word.
Oh, you're brilliant.
And then to put other yeast that I buy specifically for the second fermentation in bottle.
Okay.
Because I control more my sparkling with this kind of yeast I buy.
Okay.
Than with indigenous yeast.
I see.
Yeah,
so
because it's very difficult to, because depending the year, depending many things, the natural yeast are not exactly the same from a year to another.
Right.
So their effect on the sparkling are not the same. And so sometimes I make an analysis of my population of the yeast I have before bottling, and the result is not the same, so I prefer to take it off and to put natural yeast sometimes.
When you say take it off...
And more, and this for the cider with sugar, especially.
Okay.
When it's a dry one,
right.
I have I'm more self-confident because there is no sugar, so there is no way of having a... Too much sparkling, you know, because there is no sugar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But with a semi-sweet or sweet, I take a risk.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
So, and this one, a million thoughts. So this is the cuvée, and that is...
La cuvée Saint-Georges.
Yeah.
Cidre Pays d'Auge, with the contrôle d'appellation à Pays d'Auge protégé. And this is the name of my cuvée Pays d'Auge, cuvée Saint-Georges.
And so if someone was going to look for the appellation, that would be just that circle that they're looking for on the cider. That is the symbolic of that is approved
as an AOP.
Right.
But it can be an AOP in the cheese also.
Symbol.
Symbol.
Right, the red symbol.
Yeah, but it's obligatory now.
Okay.
It's like identification of AOP.
Right. Okay. And I noticed that you're corking. All your ciders are corked. Is that true? They're all with a wire and corked?
Yeah.
All of them.
With a cork and a wire, yeah.
Okay.
Always.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. And there's no filtration of this one? Or is there?
Before bottling,
Before bottling, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And what kind
of... It's very difficult to not to...
Not to filter?
Mm.
What kind of filtration do you use here? Is it like a cross filtration? How do you filter?
Comment on appelle ça? Des filtres à plaques. So it's a filter with paper.
Okay.
I'll show you.
We had met again in the tasting room, which is filled with bottles of cider, Calvados, and Pamu for sale. From there, we took a short walk to a barn, where she then showed us how they process the apples at the cidery known as Manoir d'Apreval.
This is where we harvest the apple.
Okay.
And this is the swimming pool of the...
washed, okay.
And then after you go inside here...
It's okay.
Machine.
Right, you're using a steel press, and then all the apples get dumped out here.
It's a pneumatic press.
Yes, pneumatic press. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
So here we make we sort because during the harvest, because we use a machine now.
Okay. Great.
The machine gets lifted in. Sort.
It doesn't sort.
No,
you hand sort, of course.
See, this is the problem.
Yeah.
So it's not like us. So I have to sort the apple. And then after we rinse again.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we crush, there's something,
Yes.
Going like this.
It crushes and drops.
Yeah, with all drops here. Like a puree of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we push all that after 1.5 hours of oxidation in the press machine. This is a press machine that with a cylinder. Inside the cylinder, we have a membrane, and we inflate the membrane in order to push
the crushed apple against the cylinder. And the cylinder turn like this, so all the juices go out.
Yes.
Fall here, arrive here, and with a pipe and a pump, we send, when it's full, send automatically to the tanks.
To the tanks here.
And and what stays inside is the pulp and the seeds, and we take it off after, and we go on.
Okay.
Like this all day. I think that we have a ratio of about 700 liters for 1 ton, about, of apple, this kind of.
And now these tanks here are waiting for cider.
Yeah.
Before it ferments, what do you call it? Before it's
fermented. I call it a mou. Mou.
Mou.
Like a juice, you know?
Okay.
But not a clarified juice. It's like a very heavy juice, mm-hmm. you know? Like mm-hmm. a mou, like a...
How can you spell mou?
Mou, M-O-U-T.
Okay, M-O-U-T.
Yeah.
Yes, all right.
And this is the vat, the tanks I have, only for the cider I destinate to become a Calvados.
Oh, okay.
Not for cider.
Not for cider, okay. No. The Calvados.
Yeah.
And all right.
We have in another place all the tanks we use for all the juices we have to control. So juice of apple, pommeau.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cider for the distillation I leave in the vats, and I don't have the change, you know, from a vat to another.
Right, of course.
Yeah, so it's different. It's
when you're doing
the work is on the cider, just bottled cider.
When you're you have the mou. Is that one variety of apple?
No.
You during your blending.
No. At this moment, when I wash and I press, I press with different variety. I crush different variety together. Mm-hmm. First, it's there's a few varieties at the press. They are very difficult for the extraction of the juice. So mixing different varieties, I make a better extraction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right.
So
ah,
here,
okay. This
where
is.
I make all the fermentation. So you see that's different tanks.
Mm-hmm.
This is with the top amovible top. And so I can put the top where I have my cider without the air. See?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important for
Yes. So you have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8 tanks, which are how many?
How many liters?
Right. I don't know how many liters. I can't guess that. That's my problem.
Okay. This is 300 liters.
Oh, okay.
So now
we're
going to
say, like, I'm going to say 1,500? No more.
15?
If that's 300 liters right there.
1,500?
Yes.
This one? It's 2,500.
2,500. Okay. So I was off 500.
5,000.
That's 5,000.
Because
that's
this
bigger.
Is double.
Okay.
Because
I see. Yes.
German.
Okay.
And this is 10,000.
10,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have how many liters here? The capacity?
Oh, the capacity? Oh, I'm not even. Oh, that's 2 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 2 times 8, that's 16,000 liters there. And then you have 3,000 here. So you almost have like almost 20,000 liters. Is that correct?
No, 600 hectoliters. 600. 300 hectoliters. So 30,000.
30,000, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
30,000
right,
here.
30,000, okay.
Yeah.
I could blame it on jet lag. You know. All right. So has this always been your cider room?
Yeah.
Okay. How old is this cidery? Is this a family cidery?
Yeah, it's a family domain where there was before a big farm in polyculture. So with sheep and cows and a lot of trees, different fruit. And 18 years ago, I arrived, and I'm going to take in charge of that, and so
well, it was your family that
it was my mother.
Okay,
and we changed the aim of the production here, and we specialize all in apple and pear.
And we leave the cows in two or four, and you know, little by little, only apple and pear. So we replanted many orchards in 18 years ago.
18 years ago, yeah. Okay. So the cider making here, was there cider making before then?
Yeah, it was.
Always.
It was 18 years ago I made cider for me. Yeah.
I'm very curious about your stepping into cider. I don't know if you want to talk that now or you want to kind of finish the tour, but I do want to talk to you about how you said, I want to make cider. Is it that just because there was a tradition here originally and you thought...
Because we had the orchard, but old, very old one, and we had other part of the domain without anything.
Right.
And so we had space to do it. Mm-hmm. We had good ground also to have the plantation of the orchard, which is important to so we make analysis of the ground, say it was good one, it has been a very long time I wanted to be here to do something in my place, family place.
Sure, yeah.
It's the big reason was that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And did you already know how to make cider, or did you then kind of through the past 18 years?
I learn every day.
Well, of course, of course.
Every year. Because it's a very lively product, the cider. If you want to sleep well, don't make cider. If you want to be cool, don't make cider.
Don't make cider. That's why I'm recording a podcast. I make cider, but I like talking to the cider makers.
No, it's a little bit of a joke, but it's not... It can be true sometimes.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah, well, I hear because, that from ice cider makers too, especially waiting for the cold weather, yeah. You know. But
It's a nice production because it's a very it's a product that is very convivial, you know, friendly and low alcoholic product and lively product, and it changes and it's like you discover always something with the cider, which is, it's not like you make a product and you don't think about it after, you know, it's the contrary. You are always thinking, okay, how can I do my cider this year? Because it depends on the varieties we will have. It depends how the fermentation will go. Mm-hmm. It depends of the weather. It depends of many things. Mm-hmm. Of the, you know, and then see... And it's nice product to do.
Sure.
But it's not an easy product to do, I think.
Because?
Because it's a fragile product, low alcoholic product, natural sparkling.
Right. You can't hide the imperfections. I mean, so, especially the low alcohol.
Yeah.
We see very
no protection. Right. So we use the acidity of the apple normally to have a good pH and to make, to make it sure that it's good, you know, but sometimes, we have to change. You know? Sometimes I want a sweet and I make a dry one sometimes because it's better like this, because I follow the fermentation of the cider and
The pH, what pH are, is that a standard that's set by the...
We say that we know the we say if I have a pH at 370, I don't have a risk of, you know. But there is other things that you have to consider, not only the pH. pH is one thing that you have to consider to have a good conservation of the product.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that standard is kind of going for that balance, which is universal.
Yeah, 370. Yeah, it's okay. Depends. Depends of the product, of the producer.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Well, this building's beautiful. I just want to, you know, for the people listening right now, we're in a pretty long room, a little bit lower ceilings. I'm going to say, in my mind, about 12 foot. And then it's an old type of barn with that What is this kind of craftsmanship where it's a vertical boards and then there's plaster in between? Yes, it's right on your label too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the, we say in French it's called le colombage.
Colombage.
Colombage is the wood or beams, no? Or how do you say in English?
Beams.
A beams.
A beam.
With
yep.
in between clay.
Oh, okay.
And flint. No, clay and straw. I will show you
okay.
outside.
All
I
right.
have one. Oh, you see really. Because all the house, it's like in all over the places, but all the houses are made from what have the ground inside.
Sure. So is there a lot of clay here?
So we have a clay. We have flint, you know?
Yes.
So our house is made of what we have in the ground, but traditionally, because now it's different.
Mm-hmm. And a straw or a thatched roof?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Look at those plants up on the
it's
the peak.
The wood is very old. I change it in February.
I see.
February, March. Because it's...
Oh, of this past year or coming up?
I have reserved
the
people to do that.
Wow, it's going to be
nice,
but it's very nice to see that vegetation up there.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, but it's a very old one and it's not so nice now.
How old did you say these buildings are?
250 years, I think.
Okay.
So you see, this is the...
Yes, I do.
This is wood that retains the clay and the straw. Okay, and after we put a thin one, to cover this. But
yeah.
It's,
yeah, that's a real deal right there. That's been there for a long time.
I restore it, but yeah.
So do you call this a cellar room?
Yeah, le chai.
Le chai.
Chai.
C-H-A-Y.
I.
H-A-I.
I.
Yes, dot the I, yeah. Yeah. Okay, it smells fantastic in here.
Yeah.
That kind of like... the barn, I think, has a lot, and you can smell the apples. It's a very...
Yeah.
Rich earth mineral here. Oh, and even in the back. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect room to have this. What does the temperature stay very consistent?
It changed between December and the summer. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't change quickly. It changed slowly because there is an inertia.
Mm-hmm.
Like because of everything inside, and because of this kind of building which is old, and
right.
So it's always a little bit fresh.
Well, I was wondering about this because you're very coastal. I thought that was interesting to me that you're so close to
the coast. Yeah,
the coast, and
so it's very the weather is very temperate. Very, very, very compared to. 20 kilometers or half an hour or 1 hour from here, which is still Normandy or Pays d'Auge.
Mm-hmm.
So we have,
So do you notice a certain flavor profile coming out of your apples here versus in, or is it...
It's difficult to say that.
Of course. But
because as we use different varieties, it's difficult to compare. It will be like... It would be interesting to do the same cuvée here and inside the Pays d'Auge and with exactly the same varieties at exactly the same time and say, okay, there's a difference. Maybe there is a difference
maybe.
Because of the ground and maybe of the soil and the weather. Yeah.
Are there many coastal...
No.
Do you call them cideries?
Cideries.
I thought that this is probably the furthest... out to towards the sea.
We there was before another one, but they stopped their activity.
Okay.
We have on the coast like this.
Very unique,
Because
you're just probably 10 minutes from Honfleur.
No, it's 6 minutes.
Oh, 6 minutes, even closer. Okay, and that's a harbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very interesting.
And Deauville is like, Trouville is 10 minutes.
Okay.
12 minutes.
So this barn here looks, we have like a brick floor, yeah. and yeah. then there's, it's indented. I imagine that was for animals.
Yeah.
Originally, it was these stalls for cows or yeah. something like yeah. that. So it's that kind of, for the fluids to go down yeah. and out of the building.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is your double tiered with barrels. Mm-mm. And each barrel, let's guess how big each barrel is and how much you have in here. You have a yeah, very okay. big one down there. That, well, that's I'm going to say that's 100 gallons, but liters.
Oh, yeah, it's like by four, no?
By four, the a little off. Yeah, 400 liters. Is that what you could say, 400 liters?
Yeah. Okay. Mainly our barrels are 400 liters for the Calvados. This is liter smaller. It's 220.
Okay.
And yeah. this is larger, and it's 600.
600. Yeah. And how about that one way down near the entrance?
This is 1,000, 900, 2,000.
5,000. Nice. Okay. So all this is all Calvados, or
you're also... Pomot also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Pomot, Calvados, and all my vintages are in this other part okay. of the building, where every year when I distill, I keep a little bit of the distillation, the Calvados, to make an aging of that and long, and I don't, you know, I leave it.
When did you start making Calvados here?
My first distillation was in 18 years ago. Mine,
mm-hmm, but yes.
There's Calvados before, you know. But
sure, sure. Mm. But for this cidery,
yeah.
18 years ago, mm-hmm. and Pomot, it's the same.
And Pomot also, yes, okay, and yeah. cider. Yeah.
So what do you find for the tourists coming through here? Are mm-hmm. they international, or do you get a lot of French
both.
Tourists? Both.
Both international also.
Okay, all right. And...
We have a lot of group people coming, international group people, because okay. they're traveling in group mm-hmm. and they're visiting Normandy with, an organization.
Sure.
And so they see things.
Come on a bus
yeah,
or vans.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And French are more individuals because...
All right.
Humble. Right. And, but also, yeah, we have a lot of Belgium, but they are individuals. They come, you know, family and
right.
Not
right.
in group. It's more American people that are coming.
Are you seeing an uptick of Americans, more Americans now than before?
A little bit, maybe.
A little bit?
A little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But Americans are coming in Normandy because of the coast, because of the war.
Oh,
but
okay.
more on this side than on our side. But,
right.
They went to have a cruise on the Seine,
mm-hmm.
and so they're coming to Honfleur because it's a good place to visit. It's very typical and very
mm-hmm.
old.
Mm-hmm.
So, and after they ask for something they can do around typic and say cider and the explanation of how we make things.
All right.
And after they have a tasting and they have and we can organize a lunch for them.
I see.
So they like that because this way it's more the rush, you know, mm-hmm. coming down, mm-hmm. down because the group is like this.
Yes.
So this.
It's like
8 years. I
yes.
make the same meal right. for this kind of group that, you know, it's a buffet of all, because I know producers of terrine and also all come from
yes,
farm.
Yes, right, all farm-based.
Based, and
yes.
and on the buffet it's only, you know,
beautiful.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And they say it's the best meal have on during all the week.
Oh, that's
because,
très bien.
No, because it's so simple.
Yeah, sure.
And it's,
and
it's always fresh.
Yes. And
so they like,
the farm,
and with the cheeses, and so they can taste different. Things and
So I know probably some listeners are hearing that and thinking, well, what kind of group size what's like the maximum group size that you can handle here?
Today I have one at lunch. For example, this American that come from very long time. Oh. And they are 28.
28 people.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty large group.
Yeah. No. It's not
large. You have like 50 people.
Yeah, but at 50, it's difficult to make a good visit.
Sure.
So 28, it's perfect. 30 people, it's perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
And after we split, we can split.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. So that's a very specific type of cider tourist.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering about the cider tourist who is just coming to Normandy just to experience cider.
Mm-hmm.
That they have come here. Like we have,
yeah,
just specifically for cider.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing that is not so unique, or are you seeing an increase at all, like for Americans?
For the cider, but you mean American, non-American, everybody?
Anyone.
There is an interest for the cider.
There is.
Yeah, and the things change a lot. From 10 years to now, from 10 years to now. Because before people say, cider, oh, no, I know cider. It's like if you tell me, I know the wine. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you don't know my wine, for example. Okay. So people don't say, I know wine, you know. I know cider. I know what it is. Okay. Now they ask, what do you have as cider? Can we taste? And they choose what they want, that they like. And there is a real interest. And it's a very natural product for thing. Now, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
We are organic production.
You're organic,
so
yes.
So that people like very much that also. Because that certified that we don't put pesticides on our apples.
Right.
And people ask for organic for the cider and the juice and the vinegar cider, for example. Not really for the Calvados and the Pommeau because there is alcohol that is making the organic, the protection.
Right, it's different.
So it's not the same kind of people that buy, you know, cider because the use, like also the cider and the natural product and to eat and to drink better than before.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a real interest for the cider. And in America, in the United States, I received just a mail about the cider that they make, different type of cidery, American one. And so there is a real interest in the United States. They replanted new varieties in the north of New York.
Right. And is that with the New York Cider Association that contacted you?
Yeah, maybe. They don't receive the mail by someone I know in United States. And say,
okay,
because
I know the
information.
Right.
But even in Japanese, they make cider.
I know. I just talked to, I have a podcast coming out on the Japanese cider scene because they had the Tokyo Cider Collection.
Exactement.
There. Yeah.
And we were over there.
You were there in Tokyo?
No, I was not personally, but my cider.
Your cider. At the Tokyo Cider Collection.
Yes.
That just happened like a month ago.
Yeah.
How exciting.
I was on the catalog, the first cider.
Oh. Perfect.
Yes.
Because I spoke to Marie, who is, she was helping form that presentation, and I found all about what's happening in Japan and the cideries, and it's much like this, these small little...
Yeah, I have an importer, it's very interesting one, a very good person that is like a little producer, and they taste, and they say, I like or I don't like, you know, they are real tester. That's very nice.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and,
it's very exciting.
And I think that cider, traditional one, artisanal one, or special cuvée, or special cider are, people are looking for that. You know? Not the base. Not real cider.
Mm-hmm.
people are not looking for the... You know, not very good cider, and with sugar added, and with something added, and no. No, the good cider, traditional, natural one, and I think that people like.
It's becoming very popular.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, just going back to the United States, because I know a lot of listeners are from the United States, and they're wondering, well, you know, what are the French thinking about the fact that Americans are not only making cider like you do here, where it's all natural, or there's organic, or they're not adding sugar, or they're adding sugar right at the end, chapelization. What are the thoughts of seeing what's happening in the U.S.? Because it's just, it's really kind of outrageous in all the best ways. They're putting raspberries in cider. They're putting ginger in cider. They're putting coffee in cider. Everything that you can imagine.
You drink your cider at the breakfast now.
Well,
that's
why not?
A good idea. Why not? To expand.
Well, also,
your cider for the breakfast. In your coffee.
But that's a little bit.
That's a good idea.
Well, it's a little higher. I feel like I drink a bunch of stuff. But it's also higher alcohol, too.
Yeah.
And so you're at that appellation, that level of alcohol has to be maintained at a certain amount. Is that right? That you can't go above like 5%?
No, because you have the sugar to make a cider at 5 or at 5.5.
Sure.
And for a dry one.
Right.
But if you arrive at 6 or 6.5, it means that you don't have any more sugar. And so it's very, very, very dry cider. So it depends. You can make a very dry cider without any sugar, but it's a very dry cider. So it's, you know. And it's why the sweet are 3% and under. It depends on the sugar you have. So maybe, you know, places in the world have a density of sugar higher than half, for example, so they can make a more alcoholic cider than I do. Depends on what you have at the beginning.
Right. So are you finding that the varieties of apples that are grown in this region, when they are pressed and you're finding that, like, specific gravity, it is... you're not getting that really high gravity that you're getting like a 6% or 7%, because some of the apples that are pressed in the U.S. can be that high in sugar from the beginning. So I was just kind of curious, is that because of this territory and the...
Because of the variety and the ground, I think.
Okay.
But the varieties.
Right, the varieties, yes.
The varieties.
Right.
And the weather.
Of course, yeah.
Because, you know, it depends on the sugar that there's in the apples, the varieties and the combination with the weather.
Agathe then walks over to a barrel that is filled with pamu. She inserts a cider thief. Now, that's not a little person, but instead it is a tool used by distillers to extract liquid. In this case, her cider thief is made out of glass, and there's a hole at the bottom and a hole in the top. Once inserted, you put your thumb over that hole, typically at the top, that's sticking out of the barrel, and that holds the liquid that's in the tube. Then you could pull it out and put it into a glass. But in this case, she held it up to both myself and the nose for us to get a direct drop of liquid.
That is very artisanal. Oh, that's a good... Oh, yeah.
What do you think? So you see?
Yeah.
Lovely.
What do you think? It's young or old?
I'm going to say young.
Young? Yeah. It's young and it's... there is a lot of alcohol.
Yes.
You see, it's like, it disappeared.
Right.
And the color tea, also, you see the color is like quite warm.
Very, yes, very
this
clear.
This is the
because after the distillation, we have a Calvados like this. Mm-hmm. And then after, this is a 2 years Calvados. And this is a 10 years Calvados. So you see the influence. We call the Calvados a brown brandy. Because of the oak. Brown brandy means that the age in oak bars.
Mm-hmm.
Like la cognac, armagnac, mm-hmm. whiskey,
right.
rum.
You know, right.
that kind of apple. And the gin and vodka are white brandy because they stay in neutral continent.
Sure.
So they stay like...
So again, this is... How old is that?
Oh, just after distillation.
Okay, just after distillation.
2 years.
2 years, and then...
And this is 10 years.
10 years, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
But you will see Mr. Bedu.
I know, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to get that, I know. I'm just so excited to be here, period. It's just a thrill of a lifetime to be able to also let people know who aren't French-speaking...
Hmm.
What is possible here to come and visit and to find out about mm-hmm. the cider? There's a real hunger
mm-hmm.
specifically for Normandy to understand specific what is happening
mm-hmm.
and what are your philosophies? What are your thoughts about that? What are you seeing with the rest of the world? And, of course, a lot of the Americans are wondering, well, what do you think? How are we doing? Because you've been all making cider for so much longer
mm-hmm.
than the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think people are curious. And it's growing very quickly,
mm-hmm.
very quickly in
yeah.
the U.S. And a lot of young people
mm-hmm.
are really moving that mm-hmm. drive towards the artisanal
mm-hmm.
cider.
Yeah.
We have that very sweet, you know, and the imported kind of sweet
yeah.
Cider. But
because cider means many things.
Mm-hmm.
Because sure. In the reglementation, a cider, you can make a cider with... there's no reglementation, very, mm-hmm. you know, a specific one.
It's, right.
You can...
In France.
In France.
Oh, I thought it was.
Cider Pays d'Auge, it's the only...
Only one.
Or maybe Le Cidre du Cotentin, Le Poiré du Domfront... But there are very few controlled appellations that is certified, non-additional, or nothing, and natural sparkling.
Ah.
Not carbonite. We can't carbonite.
Carbonation, yes.
Carbonation.
Yes, right.
This is
you can't do that,
no.
right? No, it's all natural.
You can
right,
make
no problem.
Carbonation of... All of the
right.
ciders.
It has just changed, though, in the U.S. Coming in 2017,
mm-hmm.
that was very regulated to the mm-hmm. amount of carbonation you could have.
Yeah.
They would come around and check with the needle
yeah.
and make sure.
Yeah.
And then
but
you'd get taxed.
But it's a carbonation.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a, yeah, carbonation. Now it's going to be
I'm not against
increase.
The carbonation.
Sure.
But it's different. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to know what you are going to buy. No, that's
the consumer.
The consumer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. How many people do you have helping you do with the cider? Are there
five?
Yeah. But you are the primary cider maker.
I'm in charge of the production.
And is that how you call yourself, a cider maker?
Yeah, a cider maker.
Cider maker.
Yeah.
Do they spell that in France? Is it one word or two words?
En France, we can say also cidricultrice, or cidriculteur. I wrote.
Okay, yes, that'd be great. Okay. So you have the cuvée that we were looking at, and it also comes in the magnums, and then...
Yeah, this is kind of cuvée Pays d'Auge.
Pays d'Auge, yeah.
This is a dry.
The dried brut.
Yeah, this also dry.
Mm-hmm.
This is the moelleux, means sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same, but not the same vintage. 2015 and 2013.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's in normally, it's not in green bottle, but I have a problem of
the suppliers.
Yeah, suppliers.
Yeah, suppliers. So, right.
Okay.
Unusual.
And this is pear cider.
Yeah, have you pear cider?
Pear cider.
I was wondering about that. So the pears that you're using, are they? The pear trees that have been here for quite a while, or did you also plant those when you...
Oh, we replanted the
replanted
pear,
those. Okay.
I have old one, but not all the varieties I had before was adapted to cider, but more Calvados, say, yeah.
And sometimes. Do a lot of the cideries also have...
And I make a juice of pear.
A juice of pear, okay,
yeah.
That you just... not no fermentation, it's just...
No, yeah.
That's not called moot.
No, it's more juice because more it's juice. Clarified a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, all right. And the poire, is that something that most cideries have, both the apple and the pear?
Most have pear, as apple.
Just apple.
And then after they can have pear,
have
but
pear.
It's more in the département de l'Orne.
That region?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another region.
Right.
Because they have more pear trees.
And the pears that you are using for your poire, is that a blend of pears, or are you using a specific pear variety?
It's different pears.
Okay.
It's different pears.
All right.
But I may... I don't have many pears for... So I work with another producer for that.
Okay.
And so I have to wait a little bit that my pear are more produce more, and I make more juice of pear, but I don't have any more because I
sure.
sold out.
Sure.
But, so it's very little.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those like rare things to find.
Mm-hmm. And
right,
I have more pear
so
for the Calvados because they don't have a... we have to give the fruity to the pear cider, and so the varieties are very important.
Sure,
of course. Less varieties, so when it's not a complementary, you know. It's,
right. Are there juice producers that will then distribute juice to different cider makers, or is it all orchard based? Do you understand?
I have my proper orchard, and I produce my juices from my orchard.
Your orchard, right.
But people can have only orchard and sell.
And sell
apples,
the juice.
Apples. First, apples to
okay.
Someone who transform the,
right.
the fruit. Or there is also that they have their orchard, they produce the juices, and they can sell the juice.
Okay.
You know, depends.
Yes, so it depends. So are there large producers of juice that sell the juice to cider makers? Is that unusual?
I can't say if it's large volume or not. I can't tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
That's
I don't
okay.
know.
No, don't. Oh, yeah, I'm just curious.
Because I'm not very... I don't know because I'm not looking for that... But
sure.
I know that I have, for example, a producer I know that is producing, he's selling bottles,
mm-hmm.
but he produces more than he can sell because he's not very a good seller. And he prefers to produce and to sell that his juice. For example, so I know that...
Right, that's happening.
That's
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, right.
And people are looking, but people are looking more at the state of the cider for Calvados, maybe, than for the cider, or they buy the bottle,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if they buy, or they buy the apple, but the juice is fragile, so
sure.
I don't know if it's... it can't be a large amount of volume because
yeah.
of the fragility of the
sure.
of the juice. It's why I don't know exactly, but...
Huh. You know, I mean, in the U.S., you'll have a cider maker in Texas
yeah.
bringing juice down from Oregon,
yeah.
which
no,
is
but sure, it's
a thousand
possible.
Miles away,
yeah.
you know, so I'm just kind of curious
yeah.
on that. But
if your producers know each other,
sure.
they can arrange, but at the beginning... saying, okay, this year I don't have many apples. Can you do something for
right.
me? Or I buy you few apples, or can you produce for me a juice? And, you know.
Yes.
I think that it's more like this. But maybe the big one arrange their affair differently, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm not a big one. So.
Well, you're big in my mind here. That's pretty amazing.
No, but, there is more volume for
sure.
Calvados, I think, than for maybe cider. I don't know. Maybe
now,
it's... I'm wrong.
If people are traveling to France and they want to find cider, because I was in Rouen, and I have to admit, it was hard to find cider. I was like, I don't want to go to that restaurant. I don't want to go to that restaurant. I
yeah.
wanted to have a restaurant where I could sit down and find cider.
Yeah.
And I went into a store, and it was like a store called You, like the letter U, I think. It was like a small...
Super U.
Yeah, Super U. And the cider was near the... It was like probably about this much cider, you know, but this many shelves, like three shelves deep. But are there like cider stores? How do people find that? Like the cider tourist who's out like... You have to come to the chateau, the mansion, you know.
Yeah, if you want cider, you have to
travel for
it. Very motivated.
Okay, all right. Well, that's true also for the U.S.
No, but because people in Normandy don't know how to defend their product.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Maybe the Americans and the Japanese are more the best ambassador sometimes for our product that we are ourselves. And the restaurant here, it's a problem. Because you have in few restaurants, and normally it's a good restaurant, because and they are interested in food, but in beverage and in drinks and... In the wine and in the cider and many things, and they are aware and they know their job. But you know, now there is people that they make a restaurant, they have a restaurant, but they don't know how
to promote it.
Yeah, to promote it, and it's not good because
they buy a frozen
thing and they cook the frozen thing, and it's bad restaurant.
Right. I guess the answer is if you're going to come to France for cider, you have to go out into the countryside and go visit the different ciders. Go on the cider route.
But, a little bit. And in Honfleur, you will find cider in the shop.
A
lot. You will see a lot of shops of cider.
Okay. Oh, okay, good.
Okay. And you have the liquor store, they have cider also.
Okay. When you say shop, you're not talking restaurant. You're talking a shop like this. Okay, perfect.
A shop that sells cider, only cider, or cider and cookies, and so it's very.
Okay.
It's very.
I love hearing that.
it's sometimes not the best one, but they sell cider.
Sure.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Because the market is made of many producers, many type of cider. And even the industrial one is good for the promotion of our cider.
Absolutely.
If you go to Deauville, you will have cider in the liquor store. But sometimes in the restaurant, you look at the cider and they don't have cider.
Yeah. Okay.
In Deauville, in Trouville.
Amazing.
They don't. But the mayor. Isn't that the mayor, the Bourgmestre?
The mayor
is a good man for that because defend a lot the product of Normandy.
Okay.
And when he make a cocktail at the mairie, they have the product of the producer round.
Okay.
That's very important.
That's the best way
to promote.
Right.
You know, around.
How about Idak? Is that the responsibility of IDAC?
IDAC is making promotion.
Is
making promotion, but for example, for the cider, we make promotion with bakeries. Because bakeries and cider are good together, you know. It's like cookies and cider, dessert and cider, and so we try to make a partenaire, no, a little bit.
We saw that with like a restaurant last night. We saw the crêperie.
Yeah,
and they were selling it with crepes.
Yeah, crepe and cider is very known because in Brittany, they are. Yeah, they say that, and there's a lot of crêperie and a lot of cider together.
You
know? Yeah.
So is that...
But we are in Normandy a little bit different because we are trying to introduce the cider on a gastronomic table.
Right.
Not only with a crêpe, but also
depending the cider we have, you can eat, you can drink this cider with fish, or you, or this cider is better with a pastry, or this cider is good with poulet valet d'auge, cream, cheese, because we are.
You have amazing cheese.
I believe that the cider and the cider pays d'auge is very well with the cheese. Very well.
Well, I agree.
Very good.
That's what, like, the American tourists would be coming here to, like, have the cheese, to have that camembert, or have any of your regional cheeses here, and getting the cider. So that, I think, is the potential for your region to boom on what's happening in the U.S. is fantastic. Part of this is to let folks know the access. You know, it could be difficult to find out the information about it. So I know there's a lot of excitement of your cider, but it's not just getting to France, because you could fly into Paris.
Yeah.
But to really understand the cider route and how it's connected, maybe I need to speak to the president this afternoon more about that, right? Because that's really, you know, I mean, I'm full in on cider, and I even had difficulty kind of figuring this out. How do I approach Normandy?
The cider?
Yes,
how to drink the cider with
Where to find it? No, not that so much, because I'm going to be looking at it for eating it with food, but how to find the cider, not just the cider root, but what's a good, if I only have 2 days from Paris, what makes the most sense for me to come here? You know, where do I go? How do I do that? And where do I go and buy that? Knowing in Honfleur that there's a shop or where they're selling, where the liquor is, and I could find good cider there, that is like bingo, because I'm going to be tucking that in my suitcase to go home. I mean, I brought an extra suitcase just to grab cider as I'm coming down from the Netherlands. So there is...
Yeah, it's quite difficult. It depends the time that the people have, because to do the road of the cider road, you need times, because you are going to stop, and you are going to see one, and to have a talk, and to give, you know, they will give explanation and tasting, and and after you go another place, and that's funny, that's nice, but. And there is a period that it's better to come or not, because between October, November, December, there is more production, and all the are not open.
Right, they're not open, right, because you're very busy.
So this is also, and here it's we have a lot, like a touristic period, or say.
Right.
So people are open more at this touristic period, say April to end of September, and
then it starts shutting down a little bit because of the access. But for instance, if I go to the Charles de Gaulle airport, would I be able to buy cider
at the Charles de Gaulle?
Yes, to take on the plane, like at the duty free shop. Would
I'm
I be
not
able
sure.
to? That would be like for
and
an American.
If you
that
have
would be fantastic.
Cider at Charles de Gaulle. It won't be a little producer cider.
Right. It's going to be much larger.
It will be a larger producer cider.
Right. But if you go to Oregon, you're going to find it at the airport.
And pasteurized and carbonate.
Right, yes. Right, of course.
I think, but because they need a very big stabilization to sell in this kind of, of distribution. Because if they have a problem... They have a big problem.
A big problem.
Yeah. Interesting. So it's normal. It's you know.
But your ciders are stable.
I don't know if I will be very interested to sell to duty free with this kind of people. They buy. You know, the buyers are very. They don't correspond to my product. No, but it's.
But you might
so
be surprised.
They change their way of doing the cider to correspond of the criteria of the buyers.
Right. I agree. Probably right now, not so much. But
in time, as cider is just like a fire kind of burning mm-hmm. around the world. But even if it's not at the airport, just regional around there, it would be great information mm-hmm. for the cider tourists to know, like, where can I go outside of the airport? Okay, I don't have time to come to Normandy, but is there like a tourist center that is bringing in from, because Charles de Gaulle is really right on the edge of Normandy. Is that not true, or am I wrong regionally? It's north of Paris, but it's right on the edge. Yeah. You know, is there like a little shop to go to?
No, it's not very... It's not that close? Yeah, it's not very close, but... Or they have to go in Paris.
You go in Paris, there's probably...
And you have to give... stores that where they can find a cider.
Are there cider stores in Paris?
Yeah.
That are
It's liquor store.
It's a liquor store.
It's
so
there is no shop with one cider.
Are there cider bars?
With only cider. I mean,
are there specific just cider bars? Only serving cider.
Like a wine bar.
Like a wine bar.
Yeah. No.
No.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe he's going to have one, I think, because I think it's the good moment. But
I think so, too. I mean, because now, you know, the first one was in Oregon, mm-hmm. and then we saw New York, Chicago. Mm-hmm. There's cider bars happening in many different spots of the U.S., just cider bars, and coupled with food, because there's this drive. So I was wondering... The French cider drinker. What is the interest for drinks in the U.S.? I'm sorry, in France.
Yeah.
Are the younger drinkers coming up? Are they like looking at cider as like, well, that's what my mother and father drink? Or is there any, you know, like kind of undercurrent of cider that you see in France?
No, the people don't say my mother drinks cider.
Okay.
Used to drink cider.
All right.
Maybe my grandmother.
Oh.
But not my mother. So because it's going like this, you know.
Right.
So
okay.
The cider was largely consumed at a certain moment. And then after, less on the wine,
Interesting.
And in the countryside, maybe... Yeah, people will say more my grandmother than my mother, I think.
And what I've heard happening in France is that the larger cider makers, the more corporate kind of cider makers that are making very sweet cider that necessarily isn't just purely apple-based, is what the younger drinkers are going for, because it's kind of fashionable.
Yeah,
but they're not going for artisanal.
The big producer,
yes,
makes cider like you described before, what they make in the United States, say mm-hmm. with cidre rosé or with sherries, with strawberries, mm-hmm. aromatized cider, you know, with fruity cider, but
fruity
other
cider.
Fruit added and sugared, and mm-hmm. you know, they make this kind of cider, and they have the base, the cider, basic cider, with a dry one, sweet one, mm-hmm. and you know, but. The difference is that as they sell a large amount of cider, and all the cider are going in all the Super Rue, Intermarché, Leclerc, mm. big distribution,
yes,
they make more, to be sure of them, they make more pasteurized and carbonized cider in order to have a stabilization,
sure.
Like a Coca-Cola. See, so, you know,
right.
It's like,
right.
It's finished. It's not evaluating more in bottle. Mm. We have an evolution in bottle.
Thank you again so much for spending time with us on that beautiful day in September. I love the way that ended there, having an evolution
within the bottle. And I think that speaks directly to what is happening in that region of Normandy and for that appellation for cider specifically, in that it is a living food, if you will. And that cork is there, you have the wire cap on top, and you have something that is, in my mind, actually quite stable because it's made by these really amazing artisanal craft cider makers. And yet there's a volatility that happens too, kind of that unknown. And that is part of being on the journey for discovering cider. You don't quite know what you're going to get, but you're going to get there just the same. If you have a chance to get to that region, I highly recommend it, and specifically to visit this amazing woman and the cidery known as Meneur de Apral. There'll be information on that cidery, the website, and contact info for the show notes to this episode, which is number 49. I would like to thank both Current Cider from Perkasie, Pennsylvania, and Big Apple Hard Cider from New York City. They are both part of the Cider Going Up campaign, which helps this podcast keep on thriving in the virtual world. And also a thank you to the patrons at Cider Chat. You could become a patron too. Just go to ciderchat.com/Patreon and get on board to keep this chat rolling out with amazing audio from voices from around the world. Another little thank you from Gary, who stepped forward and said, well, I'm not part of Patreon, but I just want to donate. There is a donate button on the ciderchat.com page. So many ways to be part of this world of Ciderville and join in and getting connected. Because, hey, you know, that's the way the apple tree is. It has all these different branches and it's all interconnected. It goes down the trunk of the tree, out into the roots and into the landscape. And you can't deny it. We're all helping each other create that glass of cider. So much work. It's not just one individual at all. It takes many to make an orchard, doesn't it? Many apples indeed. And before I say adieu, I want to make one more mention about a little social media group called We Are PR. And it's kind of spelled the same way on the web. It's We, W-E, and the letters R, P-R, .co. They'll help you get the voice of your cider out to the world. There'll be more about that group in subsequent podcasts. In the meantime, this is Real Windcaller signing off for now. Looking so forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
You cider for the breakfast. In your coffee.
But that's a little bit.
That's a good idea.
Well, it's a little higher. It's a little. I feel like I drink a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeehaw!